Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
A musician can't speak a symphony into existence. A builder cannot speak a house into existence. A world-class chef cannot speak a five-course meal into existence. But God is so great. God is so powerful that He speaks and is done. He speaks things into existence.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Did God create everything? That's the question we're exploring today on The Verdict as we continue a brand new series called What Would You Ask God? What are the consequences of everything being created by God? What do we learn? And how does this impact our life and our faith? Let's join Pastor John Monroe for today's message. Did God create everything?
What is your view of God? Does He exist? Is He the creator of everything? Does it make any difference? We're continuing our new series on God and thinking today of God as the creator. Last time we saw that God created everything out of nothing. That is, God is so powerful, He doesn't need any tools or materials for His creation. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Think of it. God spoke, and the universe took place. That's awesome power, the power of Almighty God in creation. And through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He makes us new creations. Listen today as we continue to think through some of the implications of everything being created by God.
The Bible tells us that God created everything with the spoken word. Let's open our Bibles to the first page, Genesis 1. Genesis 1, verse 1 again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. I like that. That's power. The psalmist says in Psalm 33, verse 9, that He speaks and it's done. He commands and it stands fast. He speaks and it's done. I can't even achieve that in my own home, right? God speaks, it's done. He commands and it holds fast. His spoken word brings everything into existence. That's power. That's majesty. That's our Creator at work. And in the New Testament, when the writer of Hebrews in chapter 1 is telling us about our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that he says about God's Son, that he upholds all things. God sustains all things. God holds everything together. The planets, the molecules of our body, He holds it all together. How does He hold it all together? He upholds all things by the word of His power. How wonderful. Moses writes in Psalm 90, verse 2, "Before the mountains were born, or you did give birth to the earth and the world." What was there before there was a physical creation, Moses is asking. Here it is. "Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." What was there before the world and the universe? Before there was anything visible, there was the invisible God who is from everlasting to everlasting. No, there is no eternally existing matter prior to God's creation. Only God is eternal. Only God is from everlasting to everlasting. And He creates, this eternal God who's always existent, He creates everything out of nothing. Now let's consider some consequences of everything being created by God. You say to all of this, so what? Number one, God is distinct from His creation. It's very important that we grasp this basic fact because it's one where there's tremendous confusion in our society. God is the creator. God is not the creation. Paganism and New Age thought is really paganism, presents God as nature. We're bombarded with that kind of message, aren't we? In paganism, there is no creator. God is in all things, and all things are part of God. I was witnessing to one of our neighbors in Kalamazoo, standing in the yard, talking about spiritual things and about Christ and the need his need for salvation, and he points to a flower and says, yeah, but I believe that God is in that flower. And I said, no, God is not the flower. The flower is not God. God created the flower, but God is distinct from the flower. But in paganism, in New Age thought, the creation and the creator, of course, are confused. Paganism says that we all share the same substance as God. Shirley MacLaine, publicly defending her New Age doctrine in New York, was challenged by one of her audience. With all due respect, says the questioner, I don't think you're God. Shirley MacLaine immediately responded, if you don't see me as a God, it's because you don't see yourself as God. That's paganism. Everything in creation becoming the same importance. I am God, God is me. We're all of the same substance. No. But in this paganism, this New Age thought, then animals and plants are just as important as people. In fact, in some cases, it seems we get more excited about a dolphin or something beached up. And of course, we should care for the animals. But as a society, we can get more excited about that than thousands of unborn children being slaughtered. In the movie Lion King, everything in the universe becomes part of a mass of energy. There is the circle of life. Pagans love circles. The circle of life swallows up God. That's paganism. In Star Wars, which George Lucas said was made to introduce Buddhism to the West, Obi-Wan Kenobi, the Jedi Master, explains to young Luke Skywalker, quote, the Force. The Force is an energy field created by all living things. It surrounds us. It penetrates us. It binds us together. It's all powerful and controls everything. That's paganism. The biblical truth reminds us that a clear distinction must be drawn between God and His creation. God is greater than His creation. He's beyond the universe. He is above the universe. The theological word for that is transcendent. God is a transcendent God. He is the majestic God. And Paul writes scathingly of those who exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. And that's what's happening in our society. So many, in practice, serving and worshiping the creature rather than the true creator God. Paganism is a worship of nature, the worship of creation, the worship of the goddess, the mother earth. We don't worship nature. We don't worship the creation. We don't worship mother earth. Of course not. We worship the creator God. He alone is almighty God. There is none like him. God is distinct from his creation. That's the first consequence. God is distinct from his creation. Secondly, all creation is dependent on God. Because all things are created by God, everything is dependent upon God for its existence. Do you understand that? You are totally dependent upon God for your very existence. Only God is self-existent. When we say that God is self-existent, we mean that God does not derive his being from anyone else. He's independent of any other being or cause. He is the one through whom everything else exists. The Bible describes him as the eternal I Am, the ever-present God. Says Paul in that wonderful doxology at the end of Romans 11, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. That's it. Everything comes from God, is upheld by God. Everything has its goal in God. All of creation is dependent upon the Creator God. God doesn't need us for his existence, of course not. We are totally, however, dependent upon God for our existence. So Paul, talking to the pagans in Athens in Acts chapter 17, quotes from one of their own poets. He says, in God we live and move and have our being. Our very existence is in God. That's true. Your existence is totally dependent upon God. Your heart beat. Every beat of your heart is given to you by God. It's going to beat On average, we're told 100,800 times today. Don't try to count it, but it's beating. It's sustained by God. Totally dependent upon God. He gives life, he takes life. Blessed be the name of the Lord, is the truth of the Bible. He is the creator. He is the sustainer of life. If that is true, and it is, I am to accept each day, this day, as a beautiful gift from God. That should bring us in a humble attitude of thankfulness, not just giving thanks for our food, but for life itself, our family, for the blessings of life, the ability to see and to hear and to admire the creation, and all of the blessings that we enjoy from God, to be thankful. Why? Because we're totally dependent on God for everything. First, God is distinct from his creation. Secondly, all creation is dependent on God. Thirdly, everything belongs to God, not you. Everything. All creation belongs to God, not you. The psalmist says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Psalmist says, the cattle upon 1,000 hills are yours, all the birds of the forest, the stars, the planets, the seas, the animals, the plants, all of them belong to God. Now, the fact that God created everything not only implies that God owns everything, God has authority over everything. Isn't that right? He's the creator. He owns everything. He has authority over us, over the whole creation. But we know from Genesis 1 that this God has made us human beings in his image and has made us stewards of his creation. We are therefore to rule over the earth. We're to take care of the earth. We are to exercise our stewardship responsibly. So we should be concerned about the environment. We should be concerned about natural resources and clean rivers and skies and seas and unpolluted skies. We should take care of the animals and be kind to the animals, as Scripture itself tells us. Why? Because we're God's vice regents on this earth. God has given us this planet to us, not to be used in a self-indulgent way, but to look over it and to take care of it and to preserve it. But all belongs to him. Have you come to that point where you understand that in your own life? Everything that you are, everything that you have belongs to God. You say, wait a minute, John, I worked very hard for what I've got. Well, some of you didn't. Some of you just inherited it. Guess that's the easiest way to be rich. But let's assume you did work hard for everything you have. Who gave you the energy? Who gave you the skill? Who gave you the abilities? God himself. Everything that you are, everything that you have comes from God. He is the creator. He gives you the strength, the ability, the opportunity. And so you think of your life, your possessions, your resources, your talents, your abilities, all belongs to God. That's the teaching of the New Testament. You say, that's really radical. That's really scary. No, it's not scary at all. Remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus? Jesus says, go sell all that you have and give to the poor and then come and follow me. Then you can be my disciple. It says the rich man, young ruler, went away because he was very rich. How hard it is then for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. But with God, all things are possible. Everything we have belongs to God. Let's acknowledge that. He is the owner. Corrie ten Boom says, when you hold something, hold it in the palm of your hand, because it can be very painful when God opens your fingers. Hold it like this. Take my life and let it be wholly consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I behold. We sing that and we think, really? Yes, really. Everything belongs to God. And our giving is an act of faith, is a demonstration of God. And we will never, my dad used to tell me, you will never, ever outgive God. Here is the fourth consequence that everything is created by God. Our God made us creative people. The God who made us in his image, and God is a creative God. Think of the beauty of our universe. Think of the fall colors. On Monday night, I was with Pastor Hathaway and we're looking at spider webs. You think these pastors have got too little to do. Need to give them more work. They're looking at spider webs. Well, we're looking at spider webs and there's a whole row of them. And we were marveling at them. These little ugly spiders producing such beautiful spider's webs. And Tim said to me, do you understand that I've read that there are no two spider webs the same? I said, well, I've never read that, but I can believe it. And a tiny little spider. Never in 1,000 years could I make that kind of web. The beauty in creation, the sounds of the birds, the songs of the birds, the fall of the rain. God is a beautiful God, isn't he? And he gives us the capacity to appreciate beauty in music and the arts and language. Our creativity is expressed in a multitude of ways. I sometimes hear of someone saying, well, this is a creative child, or this individual is creative, and it's used in such a restricted way. It means that they're a musician or an artist or a poet. Let me tell you, theologically, every single one of us is creative. Why? Because we're all made by a creative God in his image. Think of a stonemason or a carpenter or a builder using creativity in his work. Think of a homemaker using her creativity, not only cooking a meal, but presenting it in a creative way. Think of a surgeon using her skills and performing a delicate surgery. What creativity! Our God-given gifts and talents and training and resources are all to be brought in a creative act of worship to this great God who made us in his image and who is greatly to be praised. Don't let anyone quench your creativity, young person. Don't allow a teacher or a coach or a parent or a so-called friend to tell you that you won't amount to anything, to say that you're not talented, that you're not creative. Let me tell you, you are. You're made by a creator, God. You're to express your individuality. God did not make us clones. Our fingerprints are unique. Our DNA structure is unique to us. Of course, we're different. We are to affirm and appreciate the diversity that there is. We are made in the image of the creator God. Therefore, use that creativity for the glory of God. Here's the last one as we finish. Our creator God, number 5, can do anything. Number 1, God is distinct from his creation. Number 2, all creation is dependent on God. Number 3, everything belongs to God, not you. Number 4, our creator made us creative people. Number 5, our creator God can do anything. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 32, if you can find it, about the middle of your Bible, just after Isaiah. Jeremiah, Lamentations, and then Ezekiel. So if you find Ezekiel, you've gone too far. If you're into Isaiah, you haven't gone far enough. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Listen to this. We're thinking that God created everything. And you're saying, so what? Here is a so what. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Our Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and by your outstretched arm. That's what we've been thinking about. End of verse 17. Nothing is too difficult for you. Did you get that? Nothing is too difficult for you. Verse 26. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? Here's a question I ask you. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Of course not. The argument in these verses is this, that if the Lord God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth, if he did that, ex nihilo, if he did that by the power of his spoken word, can you imagine that there is any situation that is too difficult for God? Of course not. You say, well, you don't know my problems. Perhaps I don't know your problems. I don't know your problems, but I know my God. And there is nothing, nothing, nothing too difficult for God. Some problem you're struggling with? Let me remind you that our great creator, who in the beginning made everything out of nothing, can do all things. Nothing is too difficult for him. You're to cast that problem, that fear, that anxiety onto the all-powerful God. In Luke chapter 1, there is a young girl, young woman. She is a virgin, and she's told by the angel that you're going to conceive. And we say, impossible. Virgins can't become pregnant. That's ridiculous. The word of God is, for nothing, Luke 1 verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. No, the virgin will conceive. Because nothing will be impossible with God. So in your difficulties of life now, the problems that you have now, which seem to be huge like big mountains, don't resent God. Don't be angry at God. Submit to Him. Humble yourself before the great Lord of the universe. He is the creator of everything. He can handle every situation in your life and much, much more. Commit it to Him. Ask Him to guide you, to give you the wisdom and the strength and the clarity to see what you would do, and ask Him to do what you can't do, is to work in impossible situations. What is God really like? He's an all-powerful, awesome creator who in the beginning made the heavens and the earth, and who now upholds all things by the word of His power. That's what God is like. Therefore, will you surrender your life, your plans, all of your resources to Him? Will you do that? And since God is our creator, let us live by faith, trusting our God each step of the way. He's all-powerful. He will watch over you. He'll guide you. He'll protect you. He'll bless you, and He will lead you into eternal life if you know His Son, Jesus Christ, who's the only way to the Father. The psalmist asks, as we sang from Psalm 121, where does my help come from? Where does your help come from? Here's the majestic answer. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's it. That's it. The psalmist understood that God is so great that He made the heavens and the earth, that His help is not going to come from the hills. It's not going to come from His friends or His family. It's certainly not going to come by His own ingenuity. It's going to come from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And this great God who has designed all of creation is so powerful that not only has He created all of the stars, He gave names to all of them. And this God is not only so great in power, but He's so great in love and has such care for you personally that the very hairs of your head are numbered. He knows you. He cares for you. He hears you when you call. And today, call upon Him for salvation. Call upon Him for help. He loves you. He will save you. He is your creator, yes, but He's also your helper. He's also your savior. He loves you. He knows your name.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, Did God Create Everything? John will be right back in just a moment, so stay with us. Today's lesson comes from our brand new series called What Would You Ask God?, where we'll be unpacking some of the most prevalent and important questions we have about God and life itself. And to go along with this powerful study, John has just released a new listening guide to help you walk through the key points and core themes of each message he'll be sharing here on the program. So make the most of this study and think through your own verdict on these pivotal questions by downloading or requesting a free copy of our listening guide today. Just go to our new website at theverdict.org and request your copy of the What Would You Ask God listening guide. While you're there, be sure to also sign up for John's newsletter email, which he sends out every month to share exciting updates and opportunities here at The Verdict. And before we close, let me invite you to play a part in sharing these daily biblical messages with a financial gift of any amount. Your generous contributions will help deliver the gift of God's Word to new listeners in your community and all around the world. To partner with us today, just go to theverdict.org. On our website, you can also learn how to join our Sunday morning worship here at Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Again, just visit theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you have a correct view of God? In some ways, today's culture leans towards mysticism, where it is thought everything is God and God is everything. But there's a huge difference between the Creator and that which is created. If you're wise, you'll put your trust in this great God. Everything we are and have is totally dependent upon Him. Therefore, love and trust Him with all of your heart. Join me next time as we think of whether we have a purpose or is everything random.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.